Good morning. There's a topic of conversation going around this morning, and I'm going to take just a quick poll, if you don't mind, because I'm really disturbed. I'm just curious, have you ever had Braunschweiger? Raise your hand if you have. I'm just curious. If you've never had Braunschweiger, raise your hand. Okay. Wow. Hey, come on, generation. Yeah, I'll tell you later. I don't know how I got on this, but anyway, I'll bring us back. We got on that topic of conversation earlier. Stay with me. Aaron, I lost them. Let me go over a few announcements with you. Some of them are talking like, what is that? What's going on here? I'd had a conversation with a couple of teenagers earlier. I said, have you ever had Braunschweiger? And they just looked at me with a stare. And I said, really? And, it is a delicatessen. You put it on crackers and mustard, and it is awesome. Anyway, go try it. Thank you to all the stores that are going to be sold out on Braunschweiger this week. Announcements. It's good to see you all. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Good morning. All right. Good. So today, following the 10 a.m., there will be a short mandatory meeting for parents, kids, sign up for the Crossings Kids Camp. So if your kid's going to Crossings, there is a meeting right after this that you need to attend to get all the information that you might need in that. There'll be a special call business meeting on Wednesday, April the 24th at 6:30 p.m. And in that special call business meeting, it will be talked about the salary range package for that next pastor. Journey 2911. College young adult class will be traveling to Lambert's Cafe for lunch on Sunday, April the 28th, immediately following the 10 a.m. service. How many of us are college and young adults? All of us, right? All right, so we'll be going to Lambert's. Family game night will be next Sunday, 5 to 7. This is a time to bring the church family together for a time of fun, food, and fellowship and devotion. If you don't want to play games, just come for the fellowship. Details are in the bulletin or by reaching out to Brother Caleb. The annual Mother's Day banquet will be held on Saturday. Will be held on Saturday, May 4th at 10 a.m. Please sign up at the welcome desk if you plan to attend. The Children's Department is sponsoring a fun, interactive event with J&C Exotics. Join us at 5:30 p.m. in the Family Life Center to see some of God's amazing creations. Everyone is welcome. And I also know that Brother Kenny is going to also be teaching about animals of the Bible. And so it'll be a fun time as well. A list of items needed for Vacation Bible School decorating has been posted on the bulletin board near the front door. Donated items may be left in the wagon in the office. You can also find the list in a newsletter published on the app. So if you didn't get all of the announcements, I'm going to set them here. You can look at them after the service. We are so glad you're here. If you're visiting with us for the very first time here at Waldo, welcome. We're glad you are here, excited that you're here. We're going to be in Romans chapter 10 today so that you will be ready for that. I hope that you come expecting to hear the Word of God, okay? I hope you didn't come just to come because it's Sunday, but you came because you want to glorify God and you're expecting to hear from Him from His Word. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank You for this morning. Thank You for the buzz and the sound of Your people. I love to hear all the kids and the youth and the adults. And Father, we come this morning to worship You. You're our Savior, You're our Lord, You're our King. And Father, You are our soon coming King. And Father, we thank You for what You have done and what You're doing and what You're going to do because You are absolutely amazing. And Father, this morning, let us worship You in spirit and in truth. And as we open up the Scripture, we pray that the Scriptures open up our hearts. And we give You all the glory in all of this. And all God's people said, let's all stand together.
Good morning, everyone. We're going to shake things up just a bit this morning. We've been having some technical difficulties, but that's all right. So We're going to use our hymnals instead of the screen back here. So if you would, grab your hymnal. Should be one in the pew in front of you, right below or underneath your own pew. And we're going to start off with number 135 in the hymnal, Nothing But the Blood. I'll give you just one moment to turn there. You might have to share with your neighbor, but that's all right. It's going to be number 135. 135, Nothing But the Blood. Let's lift up our voices together and worship in spirit and in truth. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. Turn over to 136. Are you washed in the blood? 136.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood?
We got one more. There is a fountain. Turn to 142. 142. There is a fountain. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from a man. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying leaf rejoices to see that fountain in his day. And there may I go vile as he wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away.
You may be seated. If we can have some ushers come as we worship with our tithes and our offerings. If you're an usher, if you would head this way. I want to say hi to everyone up in the balcony as well. Hello, everyone. Good to see you all. While the ushers are coming, y'all just kind of look up the balcony and say hi. Balcony, y'all look down and say hi. All right, good deal. Here we go. We're family here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask my son-in-law, Caleb, to bless this offering.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto thee. As I look back on this road that I've traveled, I've seen so many times that he's carried me through. And if there's one thing that I've learned in my life, my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said he will do. And every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My heart rejoices when I read the promise. There's a place that I'm preparing for you. I know someday I'll see my Lord face to face. 'Cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said he will do. Every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And in every situation he has proved his love for me. When I lack the understanding, he gives more grace to me. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And everything he has said he will do. And every morning his mercies are new. 'Cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. Jesus is faithful and true.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. This week I had the privilege of meeting up with another pastor from First Baptist Paducah. And a couple of weeks ago we were talking and I was sharing with him about one of his members. A member that he probably didn't know because she hadn't been in church in a while because of her health. And many of us know this lady because she's visited here at Waldo. And she is 97 years old and her name is Casio Shaw. And she is like a second mother to me. She's always, she was always our neighbor growing up. And her sons and I were great friends. Her youngest son and I were really best friends growing up. And I got to talking to him about her and he looks at me and he says, "I would like to meet her." I said, "You will come away blessed if you meet her." And so we had set the time to come and meet, and I picked him up, and we went over there, and I did call ahead, because you know you need to call ahead. And so, but I didn't tell her who I was bringing with me. You see, every time I would go and see Casio, she brags on Waldo, but she also brags on First Baptist Church. And she always pulls out all of these bulletins that she's been saving and all of the notes that she takes down while she watches it online. She has a whole stack right there by her chair. And you can tell that she loves the Lord and she loves the church. I had learned some things that day that I had forgotten along the way. And so we walk in and she thought that this was someone from Waldo. And I explained to her, I said, "Casio, this is your pastor from First Baptist Church." And Casio, you know, of course, she's Japanese. And she just has this look on her face that she is just in awe that her pastor is there to see her. And to the point that her daughter Tomiko was there, and Tomiko's in her 70s, and Charlie was there, and she looked at Tomiko and she said, "My pastor." She was so excited to see him. We sat down and we began to talk, and she began to share some of the things that she used to do while she was at First Baptist. I didn't know this, I'd forgot it actually, that she started the Silver Ministry, and it was a ministry for the saints who did exercise. And she made sure that she had all of that going, and she also did the flower arrangements and all of that, and I'd forgotten that. And as we were talking, all these ministries that she kind of had headed up are still going strong. And I was just like amazed at listening to them. Well, the reason I say that is because there was a time in that meeting that I had noticed and I'd looked down and her feet, bless her heart, were swollen. They were swollen and they were battered. And they were just, you could just tell from 97 years of life of just going. And then you look at my granddaughter and she runs around barefooted and she's got the littlest feet and they're so young and new and just getting started in life. And I thought about all the miles that Casio went and the miles that Brindley and my grandkids will go and all of those things. And the reason I thought that is because the Bible says how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. In Romans 10. It's not talking about physical feet. It's talking about feet that are going. Feet that are traveling. Feet that bring good news. And when I was a kid, Casio and those feet would load me up and her son up and take us to First Baptist Church, COC, where I would get exposed to the gospel. Where we would go and yes, have fun, but at the same time that you would have to get a devotion while you were there. And I didn't know it at the time, but there were seeds that were being planted in my life. I was lost. I was one of them Creaster kids. I went at Christmas and Easter. And that would be about the only time that I would go to church or be exposed to church, except when I would go with her and she would load us up in the car while she was doing stuff there. We would be there playing and hearing the gospel and hearing the good news. And you got to realize that when Kazio came, she met a Navy guy and brought her here, and she was practicing Buddhism. And when she came here, she heard the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and she gave her life to Christ, and she never looked back. She served her Lord, and she served her church, and she did it well. And so it challenged me as I knew that I was getting ready for this message. What news do our feet bring? Where are we going in our day-to-day lives and taking the gospel everywhere we go and everywhere that we are? You and I are to carry the good news. Now let's look what Paul says in Romans chapter 10. Brothers and sisters, he's addressing them as brothers and sisters. My heart's desire, My heart's desire and pray to God for the Israelites that they may be wealthy, that they may prosper. No, he doesn't say that. He says that they may be saved. My heart's desire is that they may be saved, that they may know Jesus Christ. I'm praying with all of us this morning that our hearts would line up with Paul's desire. You see, the heart of every Christian, the heart of every believer, is that we should want everyone to be saved, to know Christ. And so I ask myself this question as I'm looking at this and I'm reading this and I'm examining my own heart. Charles Spurgeon says, if you care not for others to be saved, then you yourself are not saved. You can count on it. If you don't care about someone else's eternal life, then there's a good chance that you're not born again, because a born again believer is going to have the desire for others to know Jesus Christ. I don't ever preach as though I'm assuming everyone is saved. D.L. Moody preached as though everyone he assumed was lost. There's a good chance that maybe you're in here this morning, you're under the hearing of my voice, and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. You've never repented of your sins. You've never given your life to Jesus. Let me plead with you. Let me urge you to make that step of faith today. There's no greater joy than knowing Jesus Christ. I know what it's like to be lost. I know what it's like to be separated from God, because I was born that way. I was born separated from God. I was born under the condemnation of God. And here, Paul, see, have you ever said this? You tell someone younger, I just don't want you to go down the path that I went. I just don't want you to go down that road that I went. Why did you do that? Because you know what that road leads to. You know the heartache that road gives. You see, Paul understood and he knows the direction that his people are going in is in a wrong direction. And you know what? It is a dead end. It's going to lead off to a cliff and they're going to go straight to hell. And he's begging and he's pleading with them to know it's not the law that saves you. The law brings you to show you your sin and your need for Jesus Christ. And he's letting them know that you can't be good enough to be saved. You can't do enough good things to be saved. It doesn't matter if your mom and dad were saved. It doesn't mean that you're saved. It doesn't matter if your mom and dad went to church and took you to church all your life. That doesn't make you a Christian. It is through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross. Jesus came and He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He was born in a manger. He lived 33 years. He went to a cross. He took our sins upon Himself and He died a death that was meant for each and every one of us. Why did He do it? Because He knew that you couldn't. In Him dying on the cross, He was a sacrificial lamb once and for all. And not only did He die, He was buried. And on the third day, He rose again victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And right now, He is ascended and He is at the right-hand side of God the Father, ever interceding for us. And there's going to come a day and there's going to come a time when the Father looks to the Son and says, "Son, go get my children." Where will you be if the Father looks to the Son today? It says, "Son, go get my children." At that point, it will be too late. I urge you and I plead with you today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, I can't think of a greater day and a better day than the day to say yes to Jesus Christ. You do not let pride get in the way. You do not let people get in the way. You make that decision based between you and the Lord and say, "Nothing's getting in the way. I know today that I'm lost and I know I need Jesus Christ and I want to be saved." You know the Bible says that pride will send more people to hell than anything else. And Satan will whisper in your ear today that you got plenty of time. How do you know? How do you know? Have you ever known someone to be here today and gone tomorrow? Today is the day. And look what he says. Is that they may be saved, for I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own righteousness. They sought to establish their own righteousness. How did they do that? By following a set of rules. By doing this, that, and the other that they thought they were okay. Salvation isn't about a religion. It's about a relationship. Do you know Christ and does He know you? And that's what Paul's saying to them. Christ is a culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness from everyone, what? Who believes. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. That is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'You will ascend into heaven.' That is to bring Christ down, or 'Who will descend into the deep?' That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? 'The word is near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart.' That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim." Listen to this, verse 9. "That if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." So it is declaring it with your mouth and believing in your heart. It's not a prayer that saves you. It is your heart, it is your faith in what Jesus did for you. There are so many who are going back and looking back into their Bible and saying, well, this is when I prayed a prayer. What about today? It is your heart, and it is your faith, and it is your commitment, and it is your allegiance to Christ. And believing that He said everything that He said He was going to do, He did, and you believe that wholeheartedly. And look what He says. Verse 11, as Scripture says, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. Will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. He's letting us know here that it's not just about the Jews. It's also about Gentiles. The salvation, the good news, is for everyone. From every tribe and of every tongue and of every nation, of every race and of every ethnicity, the gospel is for everyone. And it is for you. It is for you. I've had people literally look at me and say, Trad, you have no clue what I've done in my life. There's no way that God could save me. Literally tell me that. And they literally believe that. For where I point them to the cross, I point them to Jesus. I point them to the cross. Jesus not only knows what you've done, He knows what you're going to do. And His love wasn't based upon what you do or what you said. His love based on you was before the foundation of the world. Before you'd done anything good or bad, God said His covenant love to you. And that's what He's saying. It's not for a certain people. The gospel is for all people. And I want you to know, there's no pit so deep that God's love doesn't go deeper. Amen. So whatever you've done, whatever you've been through, God died for you. And He understands you. And He knows you. He knows everything you've been through, everything that you're going through. We can hide from everyone else, but there's nothing that you can hide from God. And look what He says. For there is no... It says, the Scripture says, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who what? Who call on Him. Who call on Him. You know, we all have this problem, but guys really have this problem. We have a problem asking for help. We think that asking for help is a sign of weakness. I got news for us all. We need God's help. Amen. You can't fix it. You can't fix your family. You can't fix your marriage. You can't even fix you. And neither can I. Today you realize that you're lost. And the Bible says to ask God for help. To call on Him. To recognize your need. And that need is sin. And Jesus is the Savior. I heard someone say one time that Christianity is a crutch for weak-minded people. For some people that would offend them and they would get really mad. For me, I thought that is so true. I need Jesus to hold me up. I need Him to be my crutch. I need Him to hold my hand. I need Him to take me by the hand. I need Him to carry me. I need Him for everything in my life. I can't even breathe without Him. And so it's true what it says. Verse 13. For everyone. Who? Who's everyone? It's not a trick question. Everyone. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? Don't assume everyone has heard. We're not to go through life assuming. What if we all assumed? Then no one would go. Every single one of us as Christians are to go and share the good news. Be the feet, be the hands of Jesus Christ. What is wrong? It's what he's saying. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Well, brother, I'm not the preacher. You are. Well, I've heard you preaching. You preach about everything else that's going wrong in the world. How many of you preached before? Absolutely, right? Have you ever looked at your spouse and you're preaching again? But what we want to do a lot of times is we want to sit back and say, preacher, that's your job. No. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the preacher is to equip the saints to carry the gospel into this world that's lost. We don't come to sit and to soak. We come to go and tell. Coming to church is just part of it. It's when we gather as the ecclesia, the body of Christ, Christians from all over the community, all over the county, all over, come together to worship what Jesus has done in our life. You have a story to tell. And your story is not like my story, but it has that same ending, and Jesus is the finish line. But you are on a journey. And your story is different than my story. And someone may need to hear your God-centered story. You can reach people that I can't reach. And I can reach people that you can't reach. That's why you have a story. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. You have a story to tell. I'm sorry for my singing. But I have a story to tell. You know what? You don't retire from your story. You don't retire from Christianity. You don't retire from your faith. It is from the time that it starts to the time that Jesus brings you home. It says, how will they know if you don't preach? If you don't go share? That's what he says. Look here. And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? Church, in just a little while, you're going to go out these doors. You're sent. Many times we have the false concept of a missionary as a missionary being someone overseas. As a Christian, you're a missionary. As a Christian, you're a missionary. God has you at your workplace. God has you at the hospital. God has you at the grocery store. God has you at the factory. God has you at the plant. God has you where He has you. You are sent. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go! And tell someone about Jesus. Don't assume your coworker knows Jesus. Have you ever asked them? And I want, can we just be family here this morning? Okay, good. There's going to be conversations that you have. You're looking at me. It's going to be awkward. I just want you to know that. There's going to be some awkwardness, some awkward conversations. And you're not going to have all the answers. You're not going to know everything. That's okay. I don't either. But you know what Jesus has done in your life. You know that very well. And you know what He's doing in your life. Share that. You don't have to be a theologian to tell someone about Jesus. You don't have to be a theologian to tell someone what He's done in your life and what He's doing in your life. I look at many of you and I know what He's been doing in your life. I remember when Reese called me. I know where I was. I'll never forget it. I remember the conversation that Brad and I had. His truck. Ariana. Who says, I'm lost. I want to be saved. It's starting gospel conversations that are hard. And not everyone, we're family, is going to accept it. Okay. I didn't either. For a long time. I am thankful for the beautiful feet that loved me enough to tell me that the road that I was on was a dead end. I was wild. And there were some that weren't afraid to tell me the truth. And there were times that I respected them enough that I just ignored it and went on. But then as I went on, I thought about what they said. But I wasn't going to let anybody else know that I was, that was seeds being planted. I had a Casio Shaw that told me. I had a Ron Thompson that told me, my cousin who worked at Fisher Price. And I delivered oil. And he would tell me the truth. And I called him a Jesus freak. And I look back on it now and I thank them for not being ashamed and telling me the truth. I bet he looked for me coming to deliver oil to Fisher Price so that he could tell me about Jesus. Worked on a fork truck, told people about Jesus all day long at work. When's the last time you had a gospel conversation with someone about Jesus? See, it says in verse 16. Well, let me back up to 15. And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We hear bad news all day long. People need good news. Be truth tellers and bring the good news. Everywhere you go, look what verse 16 says. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. Not everyone that you're going to encounter is going to accept the good news. Jesus told a parable. And he's in a boat because it's so crowded. And he had to get in a boat and pull out. That was his pulpit. And he begins to teach the people. And I just use my sanctified imagination. He looks out and he sees this farmer at a distance. And he's casting seed. They didn't have these spreaders like we got now and all this. They would cast it from a bag and they would just sling it. And wherever it lands, it would land. If it was windy, and you know how windy it's been lately? I mean, it could fly a mile. And wherever it landed, and what Jesus said is that some seed are going to fall on different types of soil. And what he was saying is there's different types of hearts. Some of the seed is going to fall on hard soil. Some of the seed is going to fall on rocky soil. It's going to spring up, but when the heat comes up, what's it going to do? It's going to die. It's going to wither away. Some's going to fall in thorny soils where it's going to be choked by the worries and the cares of this world. But some is going to fall on good soil. You and I, we're not to worry about the hearts that it falls on. You and I are just to cast the seed. If you're not casting the seed, nothing's going to grow. I shared this with many of you, and if you don't mind, I'm going to share it one more time because there's some that may not have ever heard. There was a guy when I got to Hardin, they said he was hard as hard can be. They had talked about him so much, I was scared to death. I was a new believer, just wanted to tell someone about Jesus. And he had the nickname, get this, Crowbar. I mean, Crowbar sounds tough. And the last preacher that went, he kicked out, made him leave, and threatened him. I'd go by, I was going to the Minute Mart to get me some gummy worms. And I go by and I look in the backyard and there's Crowbar in the backyard burning a fire. Well, he's got a fire burning. And I'm going to Minute Mart, minding my own business, and all of a sudden the Lord says, go talk to him. Lord, I've heard many reports about this man. And I've heard how he run the last preacher off. And I was nervous and the Lord would not let me leave it alone. Turn around and go talk to him. Okay, Lord, I'm going. I may come see you soon. I turn around. I pull up in his driveway. And I'm praying. I walk back there and I said, Crowbar? Yeah. I said, hey, I want you to know something. I believe the Lord has told me to come talk to you. He just looked at me. I said, my name is Trad York. I'm the new youth minister up here at Hardin. He said, are you Red York's boy? I said, yeah, I am. I got a foot in the door. He said, I've known your daddy all my life. I said, I want you to know I feel the Lord's told me to come and talk to you about the Lord. He said, come inside. No one's ever gone inside. I didn't know if I was going to come out. We go inside and we sit there and we talk. His wife makes us some coffee. His wife comes out. She said, just this week, Crowbar got the news that he's got stage 4 cancer. I share the gospel with him. He gets down on his knees at the couch and right there in that living room, he prayed to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of his life. I said, Crowbar, here's a Bible. I want to give you a Bible. He said, I don't need that. I said, what do you mean? His wife says, well, he can't read. I said, I'll take care of that. I went and got him the Bible on cassette. I took it over there, and it wasn't 6 months later that I heard the news that Crowbar passed away. I went over to see the family and saw them. His wife brought that. She said, Trad, every single day he would listen to the Bible all day long. How beautiful are the feet who bring good news. I want you to know that there's going to be times in your life that you're going to fear. You listen to the Lord and you go and you share the good news of Jesus Christ. Right now, you have a friend on your heart. You have a family member in your life that don't know Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go and tell them about Christ. Christ is the only hope that anyone ever has. Amen. Well, you say, well, if I do, they may get mad at me and never speak to me again. Well, what if you don't? What if you don't and they die? I would rather for them to know Jesus Christ and never speak to me again than for me to not tell them about Christ and for them to talk to me all the days of their life. You and I don't want the blood of our family, of our friends, of our co-workers on our hands because we didn't tell them about Jesus. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Let's pray. Father, over and over and over again, I thank you for your word. We know that your word will not return void. And we ask, God, that even in our midst right now, Lord, if there's anyone here that's lost, today they take that first step of faith and trust you and call out to you and admit that they need you. I know exactly where they sit because I once sat where they did. And I remember the day very well that you convicted my heart of my lostness and my sin and my need for you. And I remember the day very well that I came and gave my heart to you. Gave my life to you. And it's been the most wonderful journey. And Lord, I pray for the saints and I pray for those who don't know you. That God, you would work in a way that only you can. We pray for our loved ones, our family members, our friends, our co-workers that don't know you. That God, you would embolden us and you would help us to be courageous enough to have those hard gospel conversations, but to trust in you for the salvation of them. Let us be seed planters and truth tellers. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together. And Ariana, if you want to go back, you can.
Go ahead and turn with me to 141, the Old Rugged Cross, number 141.
Let's sing loud, church. Let the neighbors hear you.
141. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering.
exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, as a wondrous attraction for me. For the suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the
This is Ariana, and Ariana, do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? Ariana, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, I baptize you, my little sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Buried with Him by baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. Amen. Amen.